Once more, let's just love him and magnify him. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Come on, from the depth of your heart, if he's been good to you, we give you praise, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. God, we love your ways. We love your ways, oh God. Glory to God. Great day to be alive in the house of God. Prophecy coming to pass on every hand. And here we are handling ageless truths. And we are perfectly positioned for revival in our personal lives, in our homes and family, and in a nation that is increasingly separated from God. But I find that in a dark place, light shines all the more brightly. So we're excited about the prospects of these days. And we're glad Brother Prado's in the house. He's coming to lift up the light of God's truth in this house once more. And we've come to engage in the ebb and flow of the Word of God. For where there is a preacher, there needs to be an amen. It's the receiving, it's the laying claim to the Word of God. It says, I believe in what God has established. Well, praise God. And together today, we'll explore the Word of God. And together, we'll see where God will take us and what He will speak to our hearts in this house today. Brother Prado, we love you. We're so glad to have you in the house today. Take your liberty in this house.
Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise this morning.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Everybody look amen. 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 Good to be here with you this morning, and so glad that I've had the privilege and opportunity to meet Brother Sutton and his family, and I always feel very privileged to be here among God's people. Amen. I count it a privilege and an honor, and so that's about all I'm going to do for preliminaries. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Very familiar territory. I don't have a B game. A lot of folks got a B game. You know, if you don't know what a B game is, ask some young people. But I don't got a B game. So I'm going to preach. I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at you. I'm just kidding. As far as I know, this is my first time here. It might be my last, but so I'm going to, not because you may not have me back. I might get hit by a car. So I ain't got no B game for you. So don't give me a B game. Amen? Amen. So, amen. We'll stop there before I get in trouble. Book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Y'all ready? Verse number 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a couple of moments this morning on this very simple thought. Bones of earth and breath of heaven. Bones of earth and breath of heaven. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's ask his blessings over the next few moments of this service. Jesus, we thank you. We appreciate you. God, I'm asking you to anoint your word. God, anoint me to preach your word. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help me to say a lot in just a little bit of time. God, bless every visitor that's come here today into your house. You've brought them here. Bless every saint of God. Lord, I pray for a fresh word that would speak to the specificities of their life in the name of Jesus. And everyone said a healthy amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus one more good hand. Shake your neighbor's hand, give them a great big God bless you, and you may be seated. This morning we are reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. If you were to go to the first page of this book, all of your Bibles would probably entitle this book exactly as I just did. The book of the prophet Ezekiel. What the title does not reveal about Ezekiel is that he was much more than a prophet. In fact, he was very different than all of his contemporaries, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and that Ezekiel was the only prophet that operated in a dual capacity. And what I mean by that is that he actually fulfilled two offices. He was first a priest, and later God touched him, and he began to operate in the role of a prophet. As a priest, Ezekiel understood everything on a very cursory level, on a very superficial level, per se. He knew who attended church and who didn't. He knew who tithed and who didn't. He knew who was in trouble and who wasn't. He understood everything, but on a very surface level. But then one day the Spirit of the Lord touched Ezekiel, and Ezekiel began to see things he had never seen before. Now he didn't just see the things people did, he now saw the reason why people did what they did. Now before we go any further, I think it's important that we understand what a prophet is. A lot of people feel that a prophet is a person that predicts the future, when in reality a prophet is a person that protects the future. Because your future is the most important thing in your life. A lot of people make horrible decisions because they never take into account their future. And if there's anything that really matters in your life, it's your future. A lot of folks trip out over their past, their present. But honey, let me tell you, the most important place in all your life is your future. And God will raise up people to talk and to speak into your life for the sole purpose of getting you into the future. Because if you can get into your future, everything is going to be okay. I want to explain something to you really quickly before we get any further into this. If you were to take a glance at the way human beings perceive history, you would find that there are two forms of history. The first form of history is the kind that you might learn at school or at a college level, and that is a history that does not incorporate God into it. Now, what happens when God is not incorporated into history, the best is always at the beginning. For example, if you were to pull aside your average Alabaman and ask them who is the greatest president that's ever lived, their mind would go backwards.
not forward, they would start thinking George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. And any culture that has never embraced a biblical model of history did the same thing. Whether you're talking about the Romans, the Greeks, the Persians, anybody, you go down the list and you ask them, what is the greatest moment in your country or president or whatever? They always go backwards. But in the Bible, it's just the reverse. The Bible begins with one man who blew it for everybody. And it ends with one man who saves everybody. This is what the Bible is talking about when it says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Honey, let me tell you, this is why you got to live for God all your life. Because it gets better and better and better and better and better. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but if you've been thinking about backsliding, you need to cut it out and you need to keep on marching for Jesus, because it's going to start getting better and better and better and better. Your whole life will get better and better and better. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, even this body which is corruptible will one day be buried, and it shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. Because with God, he saves the best for last. If you're going through a trial right now, you ought to be shouting, because that means things are going to be getting better. This is not part of my message, but I got to talk to somebody here who's going through it. Listen to me. Of all the human disciplines, of all the human disciplines that we practice, and I'm going to get to my message. Of all the human disciplines that we practice, there is only probably two that make it into heaven. And that one is language, and the second is mathematics. I mean, they measure things in heaven. They count things in heaven. But let me tell you something about math, and this is, I know you were in school all week, you don't want to hear this. Math is really about balance. So when you say 2 plus 2 equals 4, what you're saying is that this 4 is the same as these two 2s. That equal sign is a balance, it's a scale, it's showing you, in fact, that's the first thing they try to get you to understand in algebra, is what's on this side has to be equal to what's on this side. If you have 2 plus 2 equals 5, it goes down. In math, you could flip it around. You could say 4 is equal to 2 plus 2. Because it's balanced. God is the greatest mathematician. And he balances everything out. So if you're going through something right here, you're stacking it up in heaven too. You ain't hearing me. I don't care. I mean, I care what you're going through, because I know it's hard. But you need to chin up, pony up, stand up, and you need to realize God's going to balance it out. It's not just, you might be thinking, my God, this thing is just stacking up. Let me just tell you right now, I think it's time we stop telling God how big the mountain is and we start telling the mountain just how big God is. I think it's time we start speaking to our troubles and letting our troubles know, my God is great. My God is mighty. My God will bring me up out of this. And if he don't bring me up out of this, I got a reward up in heaven. I got a reward up in heaven. I got a reward up. Your future is important. God will raise up men. God will raise up your pastor on a Wednesday night to speak into your life. Now, this is not part of my message, but you need to hear this. There, when a man is operating in the prophetic, or there is a prophet in your presence, and we believe in prophets, there are typically, biblically, there are two kinds of prophets. The kind that sees what other people don't see, and the kind that refuses to see what everybody else sees. This is why sometimes you'll get around your pastor, you'll tell him all your trouble, and he'll act like he just didn't even hear you. And that is prophetic, because sometimes you need somebody to look at you, listen to you, and say, that don't even matter. Let me tell you the word of God. Let me tell you the will of God. But me and my husband, we fighting. I ain't even hearing that. But we're about to lose the car. I ain't even hearing that. My kids are full of the devil. I ain't even hearing that. I ain't got no money. I ain't even hearing that. Our God. I'm telling you. Ezekiel was such a prophet. He operated in both capacities. He could see what other people didn't see, and he could not see what everybody else saw. Everybody here, and this is not part of my message, everybody here, we need to discipline ourselves to sometimes not see what everybody else sees. Anyways, Ezekiel was sent to Israel. Israel was a mess. These were the same people that had received the Ten Commandments. 1,500 years almost prior to Ezekiel, the Lord had spoke to Israel and he said, you shall not worship Molech. Molech was a god that required its adherents to sacrifice their children. And here Ezekiel is now the prophet of the Lord, and Israel is sacrificing their children to Molech. They are committing adultery. They are stealing. They are robbing. These are God's people. Listen, I was born at night, not last night. Church people get funny. Now, God's people were acting horrible. In fact, even the priest, Ezekiel one time saw a vision. He saw there was an opening in a wall. He looked through the wall and he saw the priests who were supposed to be worshiping God. They were worshiping the sun god. The women were worshiping Tammuz, the god of fertility. It was a bad scene. And so God gave Ezekiel this vision in chapter 37, trying to relate to Ezekiel. And every symbolism in this dream is specific. But if we were to just take a bird's eye view of this whole thing, God says, this is what my people look like to me. It is just a valley full of dead, dry bones. Sin ain't no joke. Sin will make you stay longer than you want to stay. It'll make you say more than you should have said. It'll make you look more than what you should be looking. It'll make you go further than you want to go. And the Bible says this about sin. It says that the wages of sin is death. People fool around with sin. Sin ain't no joke. It'll mess you up. A lot of people like to think of sin as this little thing that stays inside their heart and inside their mind. And, you know, you'll hear ignorant people say, it's my life. Let me tell you something about sin. It doesn't stay contained. It overflows. Sin will get on your money. It'll get on your health. It'll get on your house. It'll get on your kids. It'll get on your kids' kids. Sin doesn't just stay in one place. It mushrooms. It becomes systemic. It just spreads out. And God showed Ezekiel his own people. He said, they're dead in their sins and in their trespasses. They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. I never will forget some years ago, I was preaching a revival between Canada and Mexico. And I arrived into the city and it was freezing cold. Real cold town. Gets below zero. And a young man picked me up at the airport. And never forget this conversation as long as I live. Very, very, very Christian young man. Him and his wife, they're about my age. And they loved people. They loved children in particular. And so they had opened up their house to take in foster children and adopt several children. And I'll never forget, he told me, he said, Brother Prado, he said, right now in my custody, I have a young boy. He said, the other day I had to take the heater, the whole heating system, out of his room and stack his bed full of blankets. And I said, why'd you have to take the heater out of this kid's room? It's freezing. He said, because the boy was grabbing paper and he was lining it up inside the heater so he could catch the house on fire. And I said, well, why does he want to, he's probably about 8 years old. I said, why does he want to catch the house on fire? He said, because as a young boy, since his infancy, he had been abused so horribly that the only way he can feel pure is by catching things on fire. He said, I have a little girl in my custody right now. He said, every night before I put her to bed, he said, I have to open up her mouth. He said, because basically, ever since her infancy, there was days her parents would feed her, days they wouldn't. So the little girl got really smart, and mealtime, she'd only chew half of her food and hide the rest in her mouth. And when I thought about this, it really bothered me. Because I thought to myself, if they're like this as kids, what hope do they have of ever being healthy adults? And then secondly, it upset me because I thought, that's not their fault. And I'll just be frank with you, I thought to myself, that's not fair. And I don't, you know, I wasn't raised in church, and I've seen some pretty bad stuff, but this one really got me. And when I looked at this situation, all I could see were the remains of sin. All I could see were dead, dry bones. I thought, these kids don't have a good hope or a good future. And I preached the revival and I moved on. And I don't know why, Brother Sutton, but I kept thinking about this and thinking about it and brewing on it and brewing on it. And I just thought, God, this is not okay. These poor kids. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And one day I was in church. I wasn't preaching. I was in a service. And I was just worshiping Jesus. And I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me. And I wasn't even thinking about this situation at the time. But the Lord began to speak to me about these kids. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, why do you think that I brought these children into an apostolic home? He said, if my spirit will just move on them and breathe on them, I can resurrect them. I can give them hope. I can give them a future. I can bring them back to life. And I'll never forget going back to that church just 1 year later and seeing that little boy who used to try to catch things on fire, raising his hands in the altar with tears streaming down his face, worshiping Jesus. Hey, I came to preach to you. I don't care how low down you are. If the Spirit of God will breathe on you, he can resurrect you. He can bring you up. He can save you. He can give you a future. He can put your life back together. I don't care where your marriage is at. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people here that walked in on the brink of divorce and they're celebrating an anniversary now. I don't care where your money's at. There's a lot of people here that walked in broke and they blessed today. I'm telling you right now, we serve a God that can do anything, all things. You know, I want you to hear me out. God spoke to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was smart. You know, there are people that are very negative. I guess we're all negative, right? But there are some people that, I mean, they're so negative, if you showed them a donut, they'd only see the hole. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just negative. Just don't believe nothing. Now, Ezekiel kind of felt that negative spirit getting on him. But when God asked him, can these bones live? Ezekiel was smart about it. And he said, you know. I don't know. You know. Hey, can I tell you, you'll never go wrong putting the ball in God's court. You'll never go wrong. I know. I know that that sounds good, but I'm really preaching to somebody here today. You are down and out. You are at the bottom. You are going through a nasty valley, and I'm telling you right now, you're thinking all kinds of negative things. You're thinking all kinds of bad things. I encourage you today, before this service is over, to make your way to the front and tell God, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say I'm going down. That's not up to me. That's up to you. I'm not going to say I'm going to die. That's not up to me. That's up to you. I'm not going to think divorce. I'm not going to talk divorce. That's not up to me. That's up to you. If I lose the house, it's yours. If I keep the house, it's yours. If I lose the car, it's yours. If I keep the car, it's yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away. I'm going to keep worshiping you anyhow. I'm going to keep shouting anyhow. I'm going to keep dancing. You know, here around the church, I was telling the boys last night, a couple months ago, well, years ago, really, about a year ago, I signed up for Hebrew classes at a synagogue. I was the only Gentile in the class. But they let me in. And I'll never forget my Hebrew teacher. The first thing she taught us, she said, you know, a lot of people think that the word amen means so be it. She said, but actually, amen's not even a word. It's an acronym, which means that each letter has its own meaning. Now, in Hebrew, the vowels are different than they are in English. So in Hebrew, amen only has three letters, what we would call the A, the M, and the N. And each letter has its own meaning. And in Hebrew, amen, each letter means Elohim Melech Ne'eman, which literally means God, my King, is faithful. Hey, I'm telling you, God is faithful. God, I'm telling you, you put it in God's hands. You put it in God's hands, it'll work out. It may not work out the way you want it to, but it'll work out. And not only that, but when you come to the front and you have your pastor lay his hands on you, you ought to be shouting amen. When you put your offering in the basket, you ought to be shouting amen. When the preacher's preaching saying you're going to come up out of this, you ought to be shouting amen. God, don't fail. God. Okay, there's still some people. This ain't getting to you. Let me explain something to you. Let's go back to math. Let's start over. What's 2 plus 1? 3. 3 plus 1. 4 plus 1. 5 plus 1. How long can we do this for? Forever. Infinity. Now, in mathematics, when you reach infinity, there's a little sign for it. It looks like an 8, but it's sideways. Now, let me tell you something about infinity. When you compare it to any other numbers, the value of those numbers becomes 0. It don't matter if you're talking about 1 billion or 1. Compared to infinity, they're nothing. They're 0. Compared to infinity, there is no big and no little. There's just nothing. Can I preach to you that our God is infinite? He don't got little problems and big problems. You ain't in a big mess, and Sister Cindy's in a little mess, and God can help her, but he can't help you. Honey, there ain't no big problems and little problems with God. He can handle it all. He can handle it all. He can run the universe and run your life. He can run the cosmos and count the hairs on your head. You ain't hearing me right now. I'm telling you, God can handle you. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're in such a deep hole. You're telling yourself, God can't do this. This is a big problem. He can't work it out. He can work it out. He can work it out. He can see the dynamics. He can see the intricacies. Jesus. Hey, God saw that valley of dead, dry bones. You know what? There wasn't like a couple of bones. The Bible says it was full. It was full of dead, dry bones. And God started moving on those bones. And the Bible says he joined bone to its bone.
It didn't say he joined bones. It said he joined bone to bone, meaning the original bone, that little hand bone that was way on the other side of the valley, it found that little pinky bone way over there. I'm telling you, God will work the details out. There's people here, the reason you're not receiving when I'm preaching, it's not because it's Sunday morning, you're tired, you didn't sit. No. There's people here, in your mind, you're like, okay, God can do a lot, but. Chubby preacher dude don't know my husband. Chubby preacher don't need to know your husband. Chubby preacher knows Jesus. And Jesus can get your husband in order. Come on, somebody. At least look, amen. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you fighting with your husband. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, let chubby preacher tell you there's a devil on your husband and Jesus can take it off of him. There's a spirit on your husband and Jesus can... You need to defy that spirit right now. I feel a nasty spirit right here that's saying, no, he can't. Yes, he can. I feel a nasty spirit here saying, God can't work it out. Yes, he can. I feel a nasty spirit on some of you that's saying, you know what? He don't understand. I don't need to understand. God understands. Stephen, let me tell you something. God works out all the details. God works out all the details. The Bible says the three Hebrew boys, they got thrown in the fire. God did not only make sure they did not burn. The Bible says he made sure they didn't even smell like smoke. That's detail. God said, not only will you not burn, your clothes won't burn, and you won't smell like smoke. I'm not a genius. I am not a genius. I know this much. If you got an ocean bed and you were to remove that water, there would be mud under that water. But the Bible says that when God split the Red Sea, they crossed over on dry land. God said, I will not only do the cosmic, I'll do the common. I'll take care of the big stuff and the little stuff. I'm preaching better than some of y'all are responding. I'm telling you, you just need to take the first step towards God and watch him work out the details. Just start stepping. Just start walking. Even if it looks like you're stepping out on nothing, you're going to land on something. Did you know? You know, we preach Peter walked on water. Peter did not walk on water. Peter walked on the word. Peter was out in the middle of the ocean. It was boisterous. It was blowing. It was going. And he said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, C-O-M-E. And Peter walked on that right there. The minute he heard that word, he put his foot out and that water became solid as a rock. Honey, you don't need to walk on water. You need to walk on the word. If God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven, you need to start opening up your eyes. He's going to open up the windows of heaven. It might be a little window here and a big window there. But trust me, he'll open up the window. We need to worship Jesus right now. Come on, come on, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel faith. I feel faith. And you know what I feel? I feel a fighting spirit. I feel a spirit of holy defiance. I feel somebody thinking to themselves, you know what? I ain't going down. I'm going up. I want every hand lifted up right now. Let's worship Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. I wish somebody right now just start calling their children out and start speaking to those dry bones. I wish somebody right now just gets so bold and so ignorant as to say, Richard, you will live. Bobby, you will live. Joanne, Susie, Tiffany, you will live. I wish somebody would look at their bank account right now and say, you will live. You will live. I speak to you in the name of You know something? I was a hot mess when I came to church. I did not believe in God. I didn't believe in Jesus. And I hated church people. I worked at a tattoo shop. I had piercings in my face. I looked like I fell in a toolbox. I sold dope, did dope. You know, when I came to church, I was suicidal. I'm preaching to somebody. I was real suicidal. I was so suicidal, I would sleep 16 hours a day because my mind would not stop racing. And so I'd sleep hoping that when I woke up, the thoughts would be gone. But you know what? I'd wake up and they were right there. So I'd go back to sleep, wake up, still there. I'm preaching over here because I'm preaching to somebody over here. And so I was a hot mess. And I had friends, lived in a nice house. I didn't know what to do with myself. My parents, my mom had a really good job, so she got free therapy. They sent me to the psychologist, to the therapist. I wasn't even 18 years old. I'd stay up at night wondering how much Drano I can drink under the sink to go ahead and end my life. I know what it is to stay up at night thinking, how many of those pills in the medicine cabinet can I swallow just to go to sleep and never wake up? I'm telling you, I was a bag of bones. I never will forget. I came home one night on Father's Day, partying all night. All night, just partying. On Father's Day, came home, and my parents had got divorced, so I had kind of a bitter relationship with my dad. And I'll never forget that night, just crying, 4 or 5 in the morning, crying. I hadn't cried in years. And that day, it was too much. I was collapsing under the pressure. And I just begin to sob. Because, you know, listen, life ain't cool. You know, you hear all these people, I love life. You go to Target, they got these boards, love life. You know, let me tell you something. Life is not your friend. Life is nasty. I know I am. You know, Albert Einstein said this. He said, we understand the dynamics of the universe. We understand the laws of physics. He said, but what we do not know is whether the universe is friendly towards human endeavors. And the answer is no. You know, tornadoes don't say, not her house. You know, cancer doesn't say, you know what, she got 3 kids. This ain't right. Diabetes doesn't say, you know what, he just lost his job. Not him. Life ain't on your side. You are out of your mind if you think that. I don't love life. I love Jesus. Yeah. Hey, this ain't my first rodeo. And I've lived long enough to know, you know what? Life ain't cool. Life will smack you upside the head. Your boss will swivel his chair and fire you. Your boss don't wake up thinking about you and your kids every day. He'll do as he pleases. The government don't care about you. They're going to do what's in their best interest. Your boss will do what's in his best interest. Nature will do what's in its own best interest. But let me tell you about a God who will do what is right to your best interest. You see, I was a mess. Psychologists couldn't help. Therapists couldn't help. Money wasn't helping. Education wasn't helping. Nothing was helping. And I remember I was telling the boys, I had a rap group. And my DJ in my rap group, we had a radio show, we did concerts. The DJ in my rap group, he was a backslider. And I'll never forget, we used to do music all night, record, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And one night he told everybody, y'all gotta go. Everybody get out. Y'all remember Ron Canole? Anybody used to listen to Ron Canole? He had one Ron Canole tape. And every time he'd come under the conviction of God, he'd tell everybody to leave. Once everybody left, he'd slap in that Ron Canole tape. Get it? Y'all don't remember Ron Canole. He told everybody, get out. He told me I could stay. He said, you could stay. You know, because I'm a likable guy. He slapped in some Ron Canole. He started crying. He said, listen, bro. He said, I ain't living it. He said, but God's real. I wish I had some honest sinners in the house. Let me tell you, this is one preacher. I ain't expecting you to be perfect, but you could be honest. I don't care if you a backslider, if you a double backslider. I don't care where you at. Just be honest. Just be real. Just get real with God and be like, you know what? I'm a mess, but God's real. You know what? I'm a hot mess, but he told me, he said, I ain't living it. He said, but God is real. I will never forget as long as I live, Pastor Son. I wanted to punch him out. I can't, to this day, I can't explain to you. I had this feeling of conviction and anger. Can I be real with y'all? No, I'll leave that alone. Look, no. So, okay, I'll talk about me. I'm Mexican. Gloria a Dios. This is good. I'm Mexican. So I'll say this about Mexicans. Well, I'll say this about this Mexican. I was racist. I really was. I'm going to just be real. And I'm just saying this because some people trip on this kind of stuff. I said, you know what? I don't want to go to church. That's for white people. No, I'm trying to help somebody out. I'm just being real. This is real talk. Y'all okay with this? And I know I'm in the South, so, whatever. I'm just not sure. I'm going home. I'm going to Florida. There's plenty of Hispanics. And I'm on my way to Florida Monday, so we'd be all right. But, you know, I thought, you know, and all I knew was, I just knew, you know, I thought, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. Because I'm Mexican. I'm Mexican. And I remember just all my prejudices and all my angers and all my frustrations. I just remember as he kept talking about Jesus, it just all started zeroing in on him. And right there inside that room, I'll never forget all that anger all of a sudden just snapping. And I just started bawling. The next week, I used to slang dope. I used to sell a lot of drugs. The next week, I got robbed. And I'll never forget, I went over his house. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay these drug dealers back. They're going to hurt me. And I'll never forget, we were both sitting there in his living room, out of our minds, inebriated. And he said, I'll tell you what you need to do, bro. You need to pray to Jesus. I got up. I said, you are out of your mind. You are crazy. I'm leaving. I went home and I started praying to Jesus. I started praying to the Lord Almighty. I don't care what color he is. I said, Jesus, help me. They are going to kill me. They have my phone number. They know where I live. I kid you not. This is the gospel truth. I was praying to Jesus. I was crying. My phone rang. I picked up the phone. I answered it. It was one of my mom's friends. This woman is an atheist. She is a socialist, atheist, American-hating, anti-Christian, just bad. I got love for her, though. She could tell there's something wrong. She said, what is wrong with you? She was asking for my mom. She said, I sounded perturbed in my voice. She said, what is wrong with you? I just, they got NA and AA, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, the funny thing is, everybody knows you on dope. There's nothing anonymous about it. Everyone knows you drunk. And it's only the alcoholic and the drug addict that thinks nobody knows. Right? You got drunk people telling their mom who raised them, I'm fine. And so, you know, I try to keep my little craft a secret, but everybody knew I was a hot mess. And I told, but you know, I didn't talk about it. It was an anonymous thing. But this time, for whatever reason, I started talking about it. I told her on the phone. I said, I'm in trouble. The drug dealers, they're going to get me. I've been selling dope. I'm on dope. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. She said, how much do you owe them? I said, blah, 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 blah. Whoop, whoop, whoop. She said, I'll give you the money. I said, bring it on. I paid the drug dealers off. I went back to my DJ's house. Where my DJ? I went to my DJ's house. I said, I got to know more about Jesus. He said, we got Bible studies on Wednesday night. I don't really go. I said, I don't care if you don't really go. I'm going. Show me where it's at. They took me to Bible study. Brother, let me tell you. Let me tell you something I do not appreciate. It's late. I'm sorry. Let me tell you what I do not appreciate. I went to Bible study, and you know, if you go to a good Bible study, they'll get crazy in the house. If it's good. I don't like this about anybody. I don't care what culture you are, who you are, what you are. I don't like this. I went into this Bible study. People were getting nuts. I mean, it was like they were like touching each other, hugging and talking languages and laying hands. It didn't bother me. And I'm just being real with you. I was like, man, we do this all day everywhere else. I'm not gonna down these people. You know, it's funny because you get this spirit of like, I just don't appreciate it. You know, there's people here, and I'm being real with you. You know, you'll see people running and dancing up here, and you think to yourself, you know, that's a little too much. But you never think that about football, baseball, basketball.
You know, I got, and it's funny because once you get saved, you start getting really funny on God about stuff. I remember I'd bring visitors to church after I got saved, and I'll get back to my story in a second, but we just got to work through something here. I used to bring visitors to church, and, you know, about 10 feet before we hit the door, I'd turn around and say, "Now listen. Y'all know, you know why you're laughing, right? Because you do the same thing. And I, listen, I want you to know, we are normal. Let me tell you something. The guy taking tickets to the rock concert, the rap concert, the Britney Spears, he don't stop the people taking the tickets saying, "Now listen, girl. There's going to be people throwing up on themselves, passing out. Don't worry, everybody's normal." You know, the guy taking the tickets at the football game, he don't tell you before you go in, "Now listen, there's going to be overweight people with their shirts off, painted the color of a team that don't win, screaming, but everything's okay." Don't do that for church. And if you're here today and you're criticizing people, you need to shake that silly spirit off of you and get with the program. Just get with the program. You do this anyways for other stuff, you might as well quit acting so pretty and cute. You ain't Miss Alabama and you ain't all that, homie. You ought to get with Jesus, get with the program and shout. Come on, somebody. This is a hand clapping, aisle running, devil chasing, Holy Ghost filled. Let me explain something to you. Let me explain something. From as far as Europe to California, down to Alabama, there has been the mentality in Western culture that people who shout and scream are barbarous, are out of control. Let me tell you something. They say you're crazy. In fact, early forms of psychology and psychotherapy, whether we're talking about Jung and Freud and all these guys, they believed that anybody who got out of control did not have good mental hygiene. Like, they weren't okay. That's a really nice way of saying, "You crazy." But little do they know, shouting is what helps you to stop from going crazy. Hey, I'm telling you, I've been all around the world, and I'm telling you, I've seen people, they are not afraid to shout, they're not afraid to scream, they're not afraid to pass out. They don't know about Jung, Freud, they don't know about civilization, they don't know about any of that. And I'm telling you, they're some of the most sane, normal people. I ain't shouting because I'm crazy. I'm shouting to keep from going crazy, and you ought to try it. You might just save your sanity if you went ahead and just blew it out a little. It feels good to shout. It feels good to clap your hands. It's human. It's natural. See, this is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. There's people, they come to a Pentecostal church and they think to themselves, you know, this is a wonderful place for extroverts. I really like the place, but I'm an introvert. Let me tell you, there's people up here running, shouting, looking crazy, and they're shy. We got to leave the back door open so they can go out that way at the end of service. I mean, when they're not in here, they just stare at their shoes all day. But they are disciplined enough and they are smart enough to know, when I come through the doors of God's house, shyness, you stay right here. Introversion, stay right here. I'm fixing to shout, because when I'm in God's presence, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It ain't about me. It ain't about being shy. This
You know what's real funny? I'll tell you what's real funny. It's always the quiet folks that are crazy at home. There's people here, you are all quiet, all reserved, and you scream at home, you throw things, you slam doors, you got holes in the wall, you putting up family pictures over the holes. Got a picture of your grandma in just weird places. I'm preaching good right now. And then you come up in church and you get all quiet. Hey, you yell at everything. You yell at the dog. You yell at the kids. You yell at the radio. If you did some more yelling up in here, you wouldn't do so much yelling out there. That's real talk. If you yelled a little bit in here, you wouldn't yell at your kids so much. If you just did a little, trust me, it'll feel good. Trust me. You'll get a hold of yourself. There's something about, see. You know, people come here and be like, well, that's how Pentecostals worship. Let me tell you something. Pentecostals happen to shout, dance, scream, clap, but that's not a Pentecostal thing. That is a human being thing. You show me a human that don't clap. You show me a human being that don't shout. I'm telling you, that's the way we're made. It is in our genetic. We are hardwired to be emotional creatures. This is the way we are as human beings, not as Pentecostals, not as Baptists, not as Methodists, not as Catholics. It is a human thing to shout. It is a human thing to scream. It is a human thing to dance. That's why everybody does it. But all of a sudden, when people get in a Pentecostal church, they want to lock up and say, you know what? This ain't me. This is you. This is you. This is for you. You don't have to back off. You need to jump in. You don't need to. I want everybody under the sound of my voice. Let's clap right now. Let's all clap. Let's be human right now. Let's just be human. Don't clap for me. Just clap for Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Why don't you clap in the face of your cancer? Why don't you clap in the face of diabetes? Why don't you clap in the face of unemployment? Why don't you... Come on. I see bone coming to bone. I see God putting... I went to Bible study. You're almost out of here. I'll have you eating barbecue in a minute. I went to Bible study. They told me, you know what? I said, I like this. I really like this. This is good. They said, you need to come to church. I said, okay. Wherever the drug dealers aren't, I want to be there. I went into church. It was, they didn't even have a building. They had like, they rented a hall. Y'all probably don't really know what this is, but it was like this hall. And every weekend they had like quinceañeras at the hall. Quinceañeras, they're like sweet 16s, but Mexican style. And so it's really bad. So this hall stunk like beans and beer every Sunday. This is not an exaggeration. There was crackheads that lived in the hall. They had like apartments and there was crackheads. we'd be having church and like a crackhead would walk by. There was cockroaches on the wall. They didn't even have music. They had a tambourine and they played that offbeat. And I still didn't care. I am not going to get funny with God. I refuse. Let me tell you something. Thank God for this building. Thank God for the church. Thank God for beautiful and all this. Let me tell you something. The incubator for deliverance and growth and development is not your building. It is the Spirit and the presence of God and the truth of God's word. Because you got all kinds of folk. They'll pick a church according to the program, the building, this and that. You need to pick a church according to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. You got a lot of churches. I'm just being real with you. You got a lot of churches. They'll pander to your flesh. If you look like you even got half your act together, they'll be nice to you. Let me tell you something. I want to go to a church where they do not agree with me. That's about 10 of you. I'm telling you, I want to go to a church where they're gonna let me have it every once in a while and just call me out and let me know I ain't right. I need to straighten up. I need to love my wife. Watch how I talk. Watch my manners. Mind my business. I don't care if they don't have inflatable fun every Sunday for my kids. I'm not tripping. My kids are my responsibility. They can jump on the bed at home, but we're going to a church where they preach the truth. I'm not kidding. I went to that church. It smelled. There was roaches on the wall. The music was bad. But I never felt nothing like I felt in that little building. And all my years of, I'll never forget. See, I was smart. I'd sit in the back. Because I saw Pentecostals be giving folks back rubs. I didn't want that. I didn't want no back rub. I didn't want people touching me. Not yet. So I'd sit way in the back. And I'll never forget one day sitting way in the back. You know, it was going pretty good. I think they even hit a couple tambourines on hits on note, you know. Things were good. And all of a sudden as I was sitting there and just, you know, you wander, you know. You're just thinking about cupcakes and stuff or whatever. And I'm sitting there. And the preacher started preaching, God can deliver you from drugs. And I have never, listen, I did not believe in God. Sure enough, didn't believe in the devil. And I heard an audible voice in my ear tell me, God cannot help you. And it freaked me out. I mean, I got so scared, I stood up. And I just started walking to the front. I mean, I stood at the front, and I mean, the guy's preaching, and I'm just standing there. And right away, the back rubbers got on me. You know, they had been trying to pray me through for a while at this point. You know, they had used all the gifts of the Spirit on me, and then some. I just was not getting the Holy Ghost. And the preacher stopped preaching. Thank God for a man of God that will go ahead and say, you know what, we going this way. This is not about a program. This is not about a schedule. This is about God. This is about people. This is about the needs, the spirit. You know what'll mess you up in church? I'll tell you what'll mess you up. When you don't realize what your needs are. And a lot of people come to church thinking, I need money. I need my husband, Bob, to straighten up. You know what you need? You need God. And if you put God first, everything else will just start lining up. But if you're sitting up in here thinking, you know, I'm just kind of waiting for them to address my needs, I'm addressing your needs right now. You need to give it up to Jesus. You need to give your heart over to God, put your problems in park, and say, you know what, God? I'm right here. I'm for you. My life is open. Okay, I promise. I'm done. I went up to the front. They laid their hands on me. I mean, I broke. I snapped. Listen, I still didn't know what was going on. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't understand any of this. I didn't know what a tabernacle was. I didn't know what hallelujah meant. I just knew what I was feeling. I snapped. I sobbed uncontrollably. I'll never forget as long as I live. I got up that day. I didn't even get the Holy Ghost that day. I still did not get the Holy Ghost. I know you can't tell, but I had to actually fast to get the Holy Ghost. It took me a while. I was pretty stubborn. But that day, I just repented. All I did, see, this is my biggest challenge right here, right now. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That word, confess, does not mean to open your mouth. In Greek, that word means to agree. I'm done. This is my biggest challenge right here, right now. This is the most critical point in this service, is to get some folks to agree with God that they're not right. I agreed with God that day. I agreed with God. See, we got a big problem right here, right now. We got a problem. And the problem is this, is you got a lot of folks, they judge themselves on real superficial levels. You know, you'll see on the newspaper, you know, murderer puts 20,000 kids in a school bus, throws it off the top building of the Empire State Building. Bad guy. And you think to yourself, well, as long as I don't kill 20,000 kids, I'm all right. Really? For real? That's how you're judging yourself? As long as you stay off the front page of the newspaper, you're okay? Come on. And then you got folks that... It's real funny, they'll go to work and, you know, they'll see Jim and, you know, Jim's bad. And as long as I ain't like Jim, I'm pretty good. Well, I got news for you. There's somebody better than you and Jim put together. We don't judge ourselves in here according to anybody around us. You know how we judge ourselves here? Very simple. The Bible says, if a man knows to do right and he doesn't do it, to him it is sin. If you've ever not done something that you knew you were supposed to do, you are a perfect candidate for repentance. Can I say this? I need to say this, and I'm reaching out for somebody. I'll never forget one day, I'd already been saved, and I went on a fast.
I know you can't tell from where you're sitting, but I fasted like 3 days. And I'll never forget on the third day, you know, you fast, you try to go to bed really early. I was going to bed like at 3. You just want the day to be over. So it's about 3:30, I'm in bed. And God tells me, go tell your mom you're sorry for being a bad son. And you know what I told God? She's a bad mom. You know what God told me, Pastor? That ain't none of your business. That's between me and her. But you are a son, and you have failed at your position and your role in life. Now get to stepping. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because there's people here. They're sitting over there. There's people over there. And you know what? They're thinking to themselves, you know what? He kind of funny. He preaching good. But you know what? So-and-so did me wrong. I ain't getting up there. And you're getting eaten up with bitterness and anger. And you don't realize you got a little slice of life and you're responsible for that slice. And God is expecting you to pony up and be a real woman and be a real man and say, you know what, God? Yeah, I've been done wrong a lot, but I've done some folks wrong too. You know what, God? This ain't about them. This is about me. This is about you. And I'm going to agree with you that I'm not where I need to be. I'm going to agree with you right now that... yes, I've been abused. Yes, I've been mistreated. Yes, I've been cheated, done wrong, stolen on. Yes, he called me by another woman's name. But God. I'm telling you. You know, your sin's got a way of intimidating you. They got a way of looking down on you saying, don't you even get up. Do you know that God is omnipresent? He's in Alabama. He's in California. He's in Jerusalem. He's everywhere. But when we say God is omnipresent, it doesn't just mean he's geographically everywhere. That means he's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. And you need to let your... That's why God can go 20 years into your past right now. And just wipe away your past. If you all messed up right now, he can come into your present, wash away your present. And here's the beautiful thing. He's waiting for you in the future. So if you mess up down there, he'll pick you up. Is it any wonder that the prophet said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Okay, let's stand. I'm done. I have to stop right here because I'm going to actually lose the person I'm reaching for. Let's stand. Hey, bro, God could work it out. He's a good God. He could work it out. Yes, he can. Man, I feel a workout spirit right now. Let's pray. I feel something right now. I'm telling you what I feel right now. I feel like that God is here in such a way that there are people here, you will actually go home and the atmosphere in your home will change, but it is beginning with you. There are people here right now. There is a dark, nasty spirit in your home. You don't even like going home because you could feel it the minute you walk through your door. You're not even religious, but you feel this nasty, cold thing when you walk in your house. I'm telling you, God's going to bless you today and kick that thing out of your house. I'm preaching really good here. I'm telling you, there's people, you're going to go home and your husband's heart is going to be a little softer.
Jesus. Jesus. Every hand lifted up. Let's pray. Just no music for about 3 seconds. Let's just pray. Let's reverence the Lord right now. My. Jesus. He will do it. 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 Come on, somebody right now, just worship him. Hallelujah. He will do it. God will do it. God will do it. God don't need to say more to you than that. He will do it. He will. Hey, ya da 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 da. Hallelujah. There's some people, there's some singers up here. God's going to do it for you. Amen. There's some young people here in the crowd. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. There's some people here. There's some young people over here. Your parents aren't in church. I'm telling you, God will do it. God will turn your brother around, turn your mama around, turn your daddy around. I'm telling you, he'll do it. 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 I'm telling you, the biggest mistake anybody can make in this service right now is to respond to the presence of God according to the person next to them. You do whatever the person next to you does not matter. I don't care if it's your boyfriend, your husband, your mom, your dad, your uncle. Right now, you need to get your mind off them and you need to act according. There's people here, things I've said, they are directly speaking to you. You know I'm talking to you. You know I'm preaching down your alley. You need to come out from your chair. You need to make your way up to the front. Throw your hands up and surrender to God. Throw your hands up and come into agreement and then come into covenant with God. Come on. If your husband doesn't come, just come. If your wife doesn't come, just come. If vamos, vamos, la presencia de Dios está aquí. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.